is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio. Catholic Review Radio is a weekly radio program and podcast hosted by Catholic Review Media, the news operation of the Archdiocese of Baltimore. We are grateful to our Catholic partners for the opportunity to bring quality Catholic programming to our listeners each week.
Welcome to Catholic Review Radio. I'm Mark Viviano, and my guest is Baltimore Ravens head coach John Harbaugh. In his 18th season as the Ravens head coach, he has led the team to a Super Bowl championship 12 times his teams have reached the playoffs. He has set numerous coaching records. I think it's safe to say his career is on a Hall of Fame track. John is also a man of faith, a devout and outspoken Catholic Christian. All my years as a reporter, John, we had some side conversations about faith. This is the first time we're on record about it, and I just really want to thank you for the opportunity.
It's great to be with you, Mark, and all those side conversations, they're on record too, right? They're on record too, as we know, and it's been a pleasure working with you all these years and getting to know how strong your faith is and what just a good man you are, and this is fun to do. I'm really appreciative of doing it.
Thank you. You know, I want to start with recently at a Mass, you came to mind because the response was Psalm 66, thanks be to God who filled my soul with fire. And I think of people who have fire in their soul, and I think of the Harbaughs. You guys are flamethrowers. Describe the fire, John, as whether it's football and especially your faith.
It's so interesting to bring that up. We had a conversation with our team just in the last couple of weeks, and the basis of it was, sometimes this competitiveness that we have, you ask yourself, or people might question it, and where does this come from, and what is this about, and what is the purpose for it, and you don't understand it, and you try to understand it. And I told the guys, I said, there's a purpose. You have a purpose. Discovering your purpose is something that you do through a lot of different ways, through prayer, through experience, through challenges, through trials, tribulations, through success, whatever it might be. But the way you feel, the competitive drive that you have, the desire you have to be great at what you do, when you want to win, when you want to be at the top of your game, when you want to chase excellence, that's not there by chance. There's a reason for that. That's a fire inside of you that's given to you by God and by the Spirit of God. Understanding why it's there and what you're supposed to do with it, that's really your challenge. But embrace that for the right reasons. Don't run away from that.
Not only in, you know, what you do and how passionate you are, but how you speak. And it's not lost on anyone that you will open a press conference with a Bible verse. How did that start for you? Were you always confident in doing that? And just explain that aspect of you.
It's such a great question. Not always confident in doing that. Worried sometimes about what people would think, you know. But then you read in the Bible not to be a pleaser of men, you know, not to be swayed every which way the wind blows by the opinions of people or the crowd or whatever it might be, but to be a pleaser of God only, you know. And that's kind of what has hit home in the last few years, basically. God has done amazing, crazy, amazing things in our life, in my life, my wife, our family, the Ravens. There's just been some spectacular works of the Holy Spirit that are going on with this football team. And I'm just grateful for it. And I think you can't, at some point in time, maybe it's just growing older, but at some point in time, maybe it's growing closer. At some point in time, you can't help but praise God for those kind of things and honor God for those kind of things. And the amazing thing, Mark, is anytime I've done that, it's always been met with positive, with good. You know, God has always had a shield and always protected those words.
I would say, too, this organization, in an unabashed way, in the many ways that it has built itself as one of the best franchises in football, there's a pillar of faith that is not hidden.
Right.
And I think of even the videos the team has put out last year, Salt and Light from the Gospel of Matthew. Right. This year, Colossians, Rooted. Right. Grow your roots into Him, and on Him you will build your faith.
Right.
Your hand in that, and your thoughts about the Ravens being unafraid to be outspoken in that regard.
Right. And you know, the beautiful thing about it is nobody's being asked to be something or not. But we're also, that goes two ways. So, you know, whatever your faith might be, We want you to embrace that. We want you to let your light shine before men, you know, and act that kind of a way. So it's not like somebody has to come along with some certain belief system or anything like that. It's we want you to embrace what you truly believe. And what you find out is so many guys on our team in the National Football League embrace Christianity, embrace Christ as their Savior, embrace the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we're not going to tamp that down and not talk about that, but we're also going to embrace the other guys. We've got some guys in our program that are Islam, you know, or Muslim. We've got Jewish, we've got non-believers, you know, and those guys are encouraged to be their true selves. But just as a Christian, I also understand and I truly believe that God is chasing all. You know, and he's going to find a way to their hearts. So if God does his work through us and through our team and our people, maybe there's a reason the Ravens wear purple, if you look at the biblical significance of that.
Matt Burke said that when, I can't remember which of the season, it was Easter season, and he told Archbishop Lurie, he said, "I know it's serious when you guys are wearing purple. You must be Ravens fans."
That's right.
You know, routine is such an important part of football. It's an important part of our faith. But through routine, inevitably, we run into periods of dryness or desolation. St. Ignatius has his rules of praying to help us get through that. How about for you? When there are times when it feels that faith is fleeting, which is normal for all of us, coach us through that. John.
Well, there are times, I mean, even just if you want to keep it in the football context, I mean, there might be a devastating loss that really you just go home and you curl up and you know, under the covers and you just feel sorry. You know, it's just you're disappointed because you put so much into it. And how could this happen? And where do we go from here? I know it's just sports, but it's our life. And so carry that over to life. The serious things that happen to us that are just devastating losses, those are real. You know, and I think that God makes it clear that he's with us through any and all circumstances. Because you're a Christian doesn't mean that you're not in the world. You are in the world, and you're going to be impacted by all the things that are in the world and all the challenges that are there, but you're not of the world. Your faith is not in the world. You're in the world, but your faith isn't. Your faith is with God, and God carries us through that. You know, the old footprints in the sand thing? Mm-hmm. I'm going with that. You know, carry me. I might be curled up in a ball feeling sorry for myself, but I know, Lord, that you're carrying me through this. And I do believe that, like, all the small trials and tribulations are kind of like, they kind of build us up. They make us spiritually tougher, so to speak, because there are going to be big tribulations in our life that we're going to need to be able to trust God through.
The subject of pressure comes up when you are in such a high-profile position and there's so much at stake for so many people. You know, I think we know, and you sort of alluded to it in your last answer, about what everybody goes through. I mean, pressure could be the single mom trying to put food on the table for her children. It could be the dad who just lost his job. There are going to be those who say, "Yeah, John, you got it easy. You know, you're making money, you know, you got it made." Mm-hmm. Talk about the reality of what, I mean, all things in context, your life. Is it easy? Because people are going to say, "Oh, you got it easy, John."
Hey, you know, I'll say this. Nobody's got it better than me. You know, who's got it better than us? My dad always says. And I embrace that. Just very, very grateful for all the things that have happened. As you look back, life is lived going forward, but it's understood going backwards. And the challenges that you have in your life when you go through them, you don't think the smoke's ever gonna clear. You know, you don't think the tunnel's ever gonna end, but there is light, the sun is gonna come up. So you learn that. But looking back on it, I would say they're right. I would say I do have it easy in a sense, because as you live through these things, God has a way of making things work out in the end. You know, I've heard it said, you know, I think even Paul even talked about, you know, they can, you know, they being the world, it can even kill you, it can kill you, but it can't take your soul, it can't take your life, you know. There's nothing that anything in this world can do to us to separate us from God, nothing. And no matter what the challenge or the circumstance is, there's going to be an opportunity. You're going to come through it on the other end, and it's going to be a glorious end. So, but I wouldn't even begin to compare the challenges that we have in sport on the sideline. I mean, it's tough, but it's nothing like what people go through in their life. And if we can bring some hope or we can bring some encouragement, that's really, I think, what God's put us in this position for.
Criticism's part of it too. because you're high profile, and you take the slings and arrows. However, you're human.
Yeah.
That hurts.
I'm sensitive. I have a thin skin. There's no doubt about it.
Is there a component of faith that helps you deal with those times when you feel assailed, under fire?
For me, I tend to just want to rely on my own fight. Like, on the inside, I'm just naturally born as I would call myself. I'm kind of a fighter. Not that I'm a good fighter with my fists or anything. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, I'm a fight. The first challenge that comes up, I'm balling my fists inside. And I'm up for the fight. You know, if you want to take me on, let's go. You know, that's kind of always been the personality trait. And I have found that probably gets you in more trouble than it's worth. So really what I've learned to do is take the fight behind closed doors. I have a closet in my office. And Jesus even said, go into your closet and pray, you know, where no one can see you. And that's what I do. I go in there every morning. I spend time in scripture. I spend time in prayer and meditation. And it can be anywhere from, 20 minutes to an hour. You know, sometimes it's an hour, sometimes it's more. But I come out of that in a way better place, you know. So I'd say that's my answer to that.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I mean, peace and stillness are the best way to get close. And I, even with two young boys in the house, I got to figure out a way. And we got to find, and you found your space, and that is so important.
I have a beach chair in there, Mark. You put a beach chair in a nice quiet spot. It's great.
you could also put on the sound effect of water, the waves crashing, right, if you like. Well, our guest is Ravens head coach John Harbaugh. We are discussing his Catholic faith. And we're going to take a quick break, and we're going to get into the family aspect of faith with the Harbaughs after this quick break.
As parents, we want to put our children on the right path, one that leads them to become intelligent, responsible, compassionate adults. That path begins with a Catholic education. Catholic schools inspire academic excellence with a balanced curriculum that integrates music, arts, world language, and Catholic faith, while challenging students in the areas of science, math, and technology. Help your child reach their full potential. Enroll in a Catholic school today.
Remember the spirit of your parish community, the power of worshiping together, the warmth of friends new and old who share your faith. Join us for Mass this weekend. Visit archbell.org to find a Catholic parish near you. Feel the joy.
This is Archbishop William Laurie of Baltimore, and you are listening to Catholic Review Radio.
Welcome back to Catholic Radio. I am Mark Viviano with Ravens head coach John Harbaugh. And John, we talked about, you mentioned your father, and I think many of us who are Catholics, many of us can look to our parents. To me, that's the thing I'm most grateful for, that they showed me the way to Christ. Mm-hmm. Me and my two brothers and two sisters, and we're still close. Talk about the Harbaugh Catholic tradition. What was the upbringing with you and John and Jim and Joni? Mass, dad's moving around as a coach. I mean, that couldn't have been easy.
No, we were probably pretty typical. We weren't the locked in Catholic family. We'd go to Mass, most of the time because we were supposed to, we'd be fiddling around and, we'd be getting whacked or whatever, be quiet, those kind of things. And there were times we didn't go to Mass. My dad was a football coach, so he'd be, Sunday morning, he'd be in working, and sometimes mom would take us too. But we went to Catholic schools on and off throughout, went to public high school and stuff like that. And I think we found our way mostly by watching the examples of our mom and dad.
Yeah.
Like my dad was a football coach, and he's a great speaker and kind of a philosophical guy. And mom is a real smart, real strong, real competitive lady. Both have their faith, but it's more of a quiet faith, I would say. Mm-hmm. And we just watch the way they live their lives and the way they love their family, the way they love their kids, the way they, you're not supposed to upset your children, when it talks about that. And they were always, they would discipline us. but they never made us feel less. They always made us feel like we could do anything, like we could conquer the world. You know, things like my dad would say, attack the day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. And I don't think he even thought about it like we think about it now. The enthusiasm unknown to mankind, what is that? That's the Holy Spirit enthusiasm, right? That's the one that's unknown to mankind. We've kind of come to learn that, and I think it's like, Dad, you didn't even know what you were talking about back then. It's a brilliant thing.
Now, Jim, your brother, is also very devout and outspoken. Mm-hmm. Talk about the brotherhood that you guys share in faith. He's out on the West Coast now. Yeah, yeah. You're on the East Coast, and people look to you. What about Jim and the brotherhood there?
Yeah, I think we do understand that. And Joni the same way, our sister. And Tom Crean is Joni, married to Joni and all of our wives, Ingrid and Sarah. But Jim and I talk a lot, you know, and we talk about a lot of different things, and the faith is weaved into it. Like, very seldom we'll say, hey, did you see this scripture? I read this. We'll do that sometimes, but more, it's always an offshoot of, like, what we're going through, like, mm-hmm. what we're dealing with our team or some injuries that might come up or, you know, you're kind of, sometimes you say something, you regret, I can't believe I said that, I can't believe I got in this situation, or I'm dealing with this person, and it always comes back, really, to a faith-based kind of an answer at the end. And it's just nice to have that in your brother, your best friend. It's nice to have that in your family.
Yeah, it is. And I can say personally, my brother is a Catholic priest, and he's my spiritual director. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing better. Your daughter Allison was on Sports Spectrum. John, as parents, we want to get to heaven and get our family to heaven. And my boys are young. It's the most important thing I do, my wife and I, is to raise them well. To hear Allison proclaiming the significance, the importance of Christ in her life must mean so much to you as a dad.
Mark, it just fills me with so much like joy and pride. If you know, it just makes me feel like, it just makes my heart well up with happiness. And the crazy thing is it's not really, we didn't really drive it in terms of like Christian terminology. It wasn't like we were talking to her every single day about, you know, Jesus as your Lord and Savior. She knew about that. We talked about that. We prayed every night. We would read Bible stories to her all the time. We have this one picture when she was probably about 5 years old. It's a sketch of Jesus holding this little lamb. Have you seen this before? It's Jesus holding the lamb. Right. So I was reading to her and I kind of had her and she was falling asleep on my shoulder one night. And I said, Allison, this is just like the picture of Jesus holding the little lamb. And she looks up at me and she goes, bah. I just started laughing so hard. It's just like, this is crazy. So and then throughout, then she just was being a kid, you know, and then all of a sudden, like her senior year in high school, She just started talking about her faith and that she knew Jesus as her Lord and Savior. And then in college, she went through some you know, tough times. She's playing college lacrosse. It's challenging at Notre Dame, and it's a fight for playing time. And she was fighting for playing time, and her faith grew closer. And then she went to South Florida, and now she's leading Bible studies, and she's got the team. They call her Grandma, you know. Meemaw was her nickname, and she's leading the Bible studies with the team, and now she's running some different forums and things like that in the summer. So Ingrid and I can't take any credit for it. Maybe a couple seeds were dusted out there, and then the Holy Spirit takes over. When you see it happen in your child, man, it's just no greater proof that God is there.
So as a father and as a coach, and so here's your daughter, Allison, who is now, you know, in her 20s. So for all the years that you've been a coach, whether it was college or nearly 30 years now in the NFL, every kid that you've been dealing with has been 18, 19, and they come to you in the NFL at 20, 21, whatever it is. A lot of people ask you how you've changed. We're aware that there is a crisis of isolation, depression, suicidal thoughts among young people who are disconnected and looking for connection. What are you seeing in the young men that you now have seen for many years? Have you noted the change in that?
I mean, what you're talking about, Mark, is like the main thing that I think we need to be talking about in society. And kind of, it's interesting you mentioned this, because in sports, it revolves around a lot of times a coach. And I was coaching a long time. We didn't have Allison until I was in my late 30s. You know, and she came, and then she grew up, and I started watching her. And as I watched her get into sports or with teachers, I would always be interested. She's our only one. What, you know, how did they react to her? What did the coach say? How did it go today at practice? And I started looking at it more and more through the eyes of the parent, you know, through the eyes of the player, so to speak. And it really, I was always sympathetic to players, because I wasn't a great player, and I was always sympathetic to the lower guys in the roster, because I wasn't like my brother, you know, I wasn't a first-round pick. But when it's your kid, you realize this person is coming to the practice field, and they're putting their trust in you as the coach to get a fair shot, to love them, to care about them, to coach them, to be in their corner, to have their back, right? And that's what I wanted from the coaches for my daughter. And the coaches that provided that, I just loved them. I wanted to hug them and thank them. Mm-hmm. And the coaches that didn't provide that, I kind of would get mad at them. It would really upset me. So that being the case, it made me a better coach. So the way I was able to learn to relate to the players was, I know that they're calling their mom and their dad every night after practice and telling them how it went. How did it go? What did the coach say? Coach Harps talked to me today. What did he say? I know it was like they couldn't wait to hear. And I was going to make sure that that was something uplifting and edifying, that that would build them up, that it came from a place of love. So you got to check your own heart and say, where am I coming from? Is this, am I coaching for me, or am I coaching for them? If I'm not coaching for them, then what am I doing this for? It's not about wins and losses or criticism or the media or any of that stuff. It's not even at the end of the day about winning a championship. It's about becoming a champion for the people that you coach. And so we have the Harbaugh Coaches Academy now that addresses this very thing you're talking about, Mark. We want to help coaches, and it's not just coaches, it's parents, it's teachers. We're all coaches in one way or another, and the way we relate to each other, and especially the way as older, you know, our generation, we relate to the younger generation coming up. What love and support and, you know, edification do we show the young people that we're responsible for, who are looking for us for that, you know? And then, like you said, what opportunities for connection do we provide? We've got to find opportunities for people to get out of their phones, to get into the real world and connect with each other on a real personal level. We've got to make that happen for our young people, you know? And I know sports does that. I believe sports is a big part of that. And there's a lot of ways to do that. And that's like, if we can do anything with the Harbaugh Coaching Academy, I hope we can find a way to kind of, to make that a priority and to show people how to do it.
One of the reactions to the increasing feelings of isolation and depression is that there has been an upswing in kids looking toward God.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So many young people on fire with Jesus.
Right.
Are you seeing that even among young players who are coming into the NFL?
I'm a believer that there's a revival coming. I think the momentum is building, you know, with this younger generation. I love this younger generation. This younger generation is full of just desire for something bigger and something more meaningful. And you see it in these guys. I mean, this group of players that we have coming into the league now, Mark, they're way, they're more mature. They're better people than we were. They are just, I don't know why. They're nicer, they're better, they're more thoughtful. They're just as competitive, they're just as tough, they work just as hard. But and the faith is much, I think the faith is stronger than ever. So I think God's got something brewing right now, Mark.
That's encouraging. And I think good coaching has something to do with that, from all the levels, all the way up to you and continuing with you here at the highest level. As we always say, the Holy Spirit's at work,
mm-hmm.
and that's a beautiful thing. John, I just want to give you an opportunity in any brief way, in any words that you have, to those who are listening to us, just especially those who are somewhat lost in their faith, if you could offer encouragement and or prayer as we wrap things up.
Okay, well, I would encourage everybody two things. First of all, to understand how great you are. I mean, you are made in the very image of God. You are the crown jewel of God's creation. And I'm talking about the whole universe. You are the crown jewel of the material world. The spiritual world is one thing and the material world is another. And we'll cross that bridge at some point in time. But flesh and blood, God created us to be special and to be his own joy, his own pride and joy. So, and no, there's nobody, I tell Allison all the time, Nobody can be Allison like you can be Allison. You're the only one that can be you in the way you can be you. And I think I want to encourage everybody to just understand that. Then the next thing would be the gift that you can give to the people that you come across, the God appointments that you have, the people that come across your path, the opportunity to look somebody, especially a child, somebody younger, somebody that looks up to you, look them right in the eye and say, you're special. You, and then find something in them that is something that's worthy. Because when you say, you know, you're really smart, or you're really good with math, or I just love your smile, or I love how hard you work, I love the way you carry yourself, I notice you, I see you, I've been watching you, and you're special. That person will remember that for the rest of their life. We all have had those moments, and we haven't forgotten those moments. Even with us old guys, we still remember somebody that did that for us when we were younger. We have an opportunity that we pass up way too often to do that for other people. That's the greatest gift you can give somebody, and it's the greatest impact you can have on somebody. And they'll remember you for that moment for the rest of their life.
John, thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mark. It's been fun.
Well said, John Harbaugh. And for Catholic Review Radio, I'm Mark Viviano. Thank you for listening.
The Catholic Review is the only publication in the Archdiocese of Baltimore that covers the Catholic Church full-time. Pick up the monthly magazine at your parish or have it delivered to your home. Subscribe to our e-newsletter for twice-weekly updates. Just text CR Media to 84576. Follow the Catholic Review on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube. Read it today in print or online at catholicreview.org. That's catholicreview.org.
Tune in to Catholic Review Radio next week. Available on WMET 1160 AM and 103.1 FM. Also, WSJF 92.7 FM in the Sykesville area and WVTO 92.7 FM in Baltimore City. Check us out on SoundCloud or your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for joining us for this edition of Catholic Review Radio. As we prepare for the week ahead, let us do so in prayer together as one community of faith. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Let us also ask the blessing and intercession of our Blessed Mother as we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May Almighty God bless us and keep us always in his love.